Proverbs 14. And we'll start in verse 12. This morning, looking at decisions. So many decisions to make in life, every day, every week, every month. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Amen. Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father in heaven, we thank you that we can, and we should, go to you before we make decisions. And we know that you know everything that there is to know, and there's just so many things that we can't see and are not aware of, and our hearts are deceitful as well. So, Lord, it's a blessing to humble ourselves before you that we might be able to know and do your will. Lord, I pray to be with Pastor now as he desires greatly to show us from the Bible truth, Lord. The greatest blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We have so many decisions to make in life, and some of those can be life-threatening. As it says here, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I know a young man who was driving a car, and he was doing something. I don't know if he was adjusting the radio or if something had fallen and he was picking it up, but anyway, he was bending over to do whatever, and he got in an accident, and just a young man, and surgeries, very serious head trauma, surgeries, and his life will never be the same after that. And other decisions are not only affect us physically, but eternally. Notice in Matthew 25 and verse 41. The Bible tells us, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Can you imagine having to spend eternity in the same place as the devil and his angels? And not that I'm trying to insinuate that they're going to be tormenting others. No, it was created to torment them. But just think how powerful Satan is. And if a place was prepared to torment him, how much more so could it easily be a place to torment man? And of course, I'm starting to get into territory where we would need to have a whole different message on that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, where all of the lost of all ages are going to appear before the great white throne judgment and are going to be judged according to their works. Well, their works has nothing to do with salvation, but their works have everything to do with the exact degree of torment throughout eternity they'll receive. God is holy. God is just. So he will give every person exactly the degree of torment they deserve, all the loss. So, you know, these people that are just multiplying their vile, evil, wicked behavior will heap to themselves more and more. But that's in Revelation 20, and we don't have time to go there right now. But look at verse 46 here in the same chapter, Matthew 25, 46. And these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So why are we so prone in life to make wrong decisions? Why are we so blind that we cannot see ahead to what's going on? Well, partly exactly what Brother Steve just prayed, you know, we have an evil foe that we can't see. I mean, in Vietnam, I was just talking to someone recently, and he asked me if I'd been in the military and been in Vietnam, and so I was asking him if he had been in Vietnam, and Vietnam was so treacherous. It was jungle fighting, but the Viet Cong had set booby traps, like our men would be walking through the the jungle, and there might be just a line, like a fishing line or something stretched across, and it would set off a booby trap, and whether it would be something that would be shot at them or some other type of trap, something to kill them, whether it's something poisoned, whatever it might be. They had tunnels dug there in Vietnam all over, and I read about so many stories about our men trying to chase those people down in the tunnels, and our men being killed down in the tunnels. It was just, it was a horrible, horrible thing, but man has faced, ever since sin entered into the world, man has faced an enemy that we cannot see, Satan and the demons. We cannot, they can be setting a trap right before our face, and we can't see it because it's in the unseen realm. So we need to be constantly going to God, asking for help. So, number one, one reason we are so prone to make wrong decisions is because we do not obey God. Number one reason we are so prone to make wrong decisions is because we do not obey God. Notice in Genesis 2, do we have more to learn from the Bible? Yes, we do. But probably an even bigger problem is what we already know from the Bible and do not obey. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. How many people come back to this point? God told them, before there was any rules about do not, there was this do. Do what? Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So every tree, freely eat. God didn't say, okay, there's all these trees in the garden. You may have one fruit per day from each tree and no more. That's not what God said. He said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So, people only dwell on the negative. Well, I don't want to be a Christian because you can't do this and you can't do that. There's so many things that we can do that are wholesome and fulfilling and good. It's like when I worked in construction work, I'd in my lunchbox, you know, there might be a sandwich and then about three or four varieties of Hostess Twinkies or cakes or what have you. And so, you know, it was mostly sugar. And so, you know, in construction, you're working hard physically. And so I would eat this or that. And I don't know if I'd call it a stomach ache, but I wouldn't feel good after eating that stuff. It wouldn't give me energy. And I can recall when I was young, helping my dad in construction, my grandpa Austin would be on the job too. He would bring all these homemade goodies for grandma made him, you know. He wouldn't have anything from the store. It didn't seem like it was all in little containers, you know, that grandma would make him right from scratch or whatever. And he made comments about the way we were eating, and he was probably right in that too. So I eat much different now, and I normally feel much better when I eat than back in those days. So, but we're so prone to make wrong decisions because we don't obey God. His instruction was very clear. The positive was before the negative. But why didn't man listen to God? Why didn't Eve listen? In Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So, number one, why do we make so many wrong decisions? It's because we don't obey what God says. We try to excuse ourselves. We could probably all write a book of excuses. Well, I know God says this, but in my situation, I have to do this. Well, I know everyone else should obey God and, you know, do it that way, but in my situation is unique. A bad decision to make an excuse. But number two, another reason we are so prone to make wrong decisions is because of the company we keep. I'll read that again. Another reason that we are so prone to make wrong decisions is because of the company that we keep. How many people ever started smoking or drinking or doing drugs just on their own, out of the blue? How many people said, oh, there's a plant. I think I'll cut the leaves off it and dry those leaves and then roll up those leaves and put it in a paper covering. And I just think I'll light it on fire, and I think I'll try to suck in air through that and just see what it's like. Who would do that? I mean, have you ever seen anyone burning trash in a burn barrel with their head over the barrel? Just, this smoke is so wonderful. No, if you just get in the smoke, you start coughing. No, people start smoking because of the company they keep. Someone always offers them a cigarette. Why do people start drinking alcohol? Do they think, I think I'll take this potato and I think I'll just leave it somewhere until it gets rotten and squishy. And I think I'll try to make a fermented drink out of that. That sounds really great, doesn't it? No. What do you usually do with rotten potatoes? You throw them away. But people do that with different grains. And now the big thing is with hops. Can you imagine a golf course in Greenville was turned into a farm? They grow hops to make alcohol. I think I might have played two games of real golf in my whole life. We played miniature golf, but maybe two games of real golf on a real golf course in my life. But I would much rather see a golf course still in Greenville than a farm growing hops for alcohol. How did people start drinking? Most generally, because they were offered a drink from someone that they were keeping company with. What got Eve into trouble? Well, she is keeping company with this serpent, this subtle, verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Subtle means highly skillful, artful, crafty, operating insidiously. So I thought, now just what does insidiously mean? So I had to look that up. Insidiously means awaiting a chance to entrap. Treacherous. Harmful, but enticing. That kind of reminds you of Delilah and Samson, doesn't it? Harmful, but enticing. Seductive. All those definitions were out of Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary. So Eve found herself keeping company with this subtle creature, the serpent. And of course, Satan was working through the serpent. Another problem is that Eve was not truly knowledgeable about exactly what God said. And that also can get us into trouble. But if you look in chapter 3 and verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye, what? Touch it, lest ye die. Now, God did not say they couldn't touch it. God never said if they touched that fruit, they were going to die. If you look back in chapter 2 there, in verse 17, chapter 2, 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not, what? Eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So God never said they would die if they touched it. Eve added to that. And of course, that's what people are prone to do. is with God. They center on the negative instead of centering on the things they say we can do. And so she adds, I don't know if she added to it or Adam. I don't know, maybe Adam told her. Listen, God says don't eat of it. So don't even touch it. I mean, maybe he said that. I don't know. Not sure, but that's not exactly what God said. So notice with me in Psalm 1. Psalm 1. The Bible tells us not to keep company with the wrong crowd. That is why sometimes we make poor decisions, because we're not with the right company. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that what? Walketh not in the counsel of who? The ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of who? Sinners. Nor sitteth in the seat of who? The scornful. So it's dangerous to be with the wrong company, because it gives us ideas that maybe we normally wouldn't have. You know, it used to be, now there's homeschool, but it used to be that there was only public school. And it was pretty common for children to come home with new words. And parents would say, where did you get that word? Well, it might have been an okay word from the teacher, but more than likely it was a not okay word from some other child. Notice in Proverbs 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. What is the danger of us keeping company with the wrong crowd? Proverbs 13, 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be what? Wise. But a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. So, I should have had you keep your spot back there in Genesis 3, but let's go back there. So what starts out as a subtle question now turns into accusations against God. In Genesis 3 and verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So now he's contradicting what God says. Ye shall not surely die. And now he's going to put the suggestion that God isn't being fair. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as who? Gods, knowing good and evil. Well, she didn't think through the part about who wants the knowledge of evil. I mean, there's so many evil films made and evil books written. I mean, why do people imagine all these evil things? I don't know what the name of the movie was, but there was some movie made many years ago about some jewelry theft in Great Britain. I don't know if it was the crown jewels. I don't know what it was. But so some person thinks through all of this and writes about it, makes a movie about it. And then whatever the jewels were, somebody tried to do it that exact same way. There's been other crimes committed. It's the same way. Someone thinks through all this crime, how it could be done, and then someone else does it. Why would we spend our lives writing about evil? Why would we spend our lives even thinking about evil and writing about it and thus put it upon other people's minds? That's not only a waste of time, it's dangerous. Is it not a part responsibility then in the crime? Because you put it in someone's mind. Now, we don't want to be in that crowd. And so Satan, through the serpent, puts this in Eve's mind. You know what? Number one, you won't die if you eat that. And in fact, if you eat it, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And God doesn't want you to have that higher knowledge. Who wants the knowledge of evil? It only brings sorrow. So that's not a good feeling. Notice with me in Psalm 51. So what does the knowledge of sin? In other words, if someone has personal knowledge of sin, they've experienced it. Does that bring joy that you have knowledge that someone else does not have? If you've hit your thumb with a hammer, do you have greater joy in your life than those who have not yet done so? If you've had stitches, do you have greater joy in your life than those people who have never been cut that bad? No. What you have is scars. Exterior or interior. That's what sin brings. It's scars. Look at Psalm 51:2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is what? Ever before me. That is a scar. That's an inner scar from having experienced sin, the wrong thing. Now, praise God. God, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in His precious blood to cleanse us, our sins are washed away. God doesn't remember our sin. The problem is we do. We still have those scars. Notice Isaiah 43:25. But praise God, He doesn't remember when we get saved. Isaiah 43:25. God says, I am He that what? Blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will what? Not remember thy sins. Notice in Psalm 103:12, God says He will not remember our sins, that He will blot them out when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 103:12. God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Well, how far is that? Could you go to the North Pole if you wanted to? If you had the money to? Yes, you could go to the North Pole. Could you go to the South Pole if you had the money to? Yes, you could. Could you go to the East Pole if you wanted to? No. Why? Because there is none. Could you go to the West Pole if you wanted to? No, there is none. So when God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. He's removed our transgressions to infinity from us. What a wonderful thing. And what a wonderful thing to be saved. Why walk through it? You know, some people think, well, yeah, I should get saved. And, you know, I do plan on it before I die. Well, when are you going to die? Well, I don't know. But they take their chances. They take their chances. But you know what? It's so good to be saved, isn't it? Right now, not to wait till death. Why? Because we don't have to keep making more scars. We don't have to keep experiencing sin. We can obey God and not experience that. I mean, do you want to end up with stitches everywhere and scars everywhere? Well, not particularly. Well, but a person who goes on in their sin, all they're doing is making more and more and more scars. More bad memories, outwardly and inwardly. So, number one reason we're so prone to make wrong decisions is because we do not obey God. Number two, another reason that we are so prone to make wrong decisions is because of the company we keep. Number three, another reason that we are so prone to make wrong decisions is because of our selfishness and pride. Our selfishness and pride. Let's go back to Genesis 3 and verse 6. Genesis 3:6. Why are we so prone to make wrong decisions? Well, Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to what? Make one wise. That was the final straw right there. She believed the lie. She believed that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. So for selfishness and pride, God really is just withholding this because he doesn't want me to be wiser. He doesn't want me to be like him. He just wants to keep me, down in this state of servitude. So I'm going to do it. She made that wrong decision because of selfishness and pride. A tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. Well, we try to do that in life, and it doesn't turn out so well, does it? So may God help us. We don't have to make the wrong decisions. Number one, let's just review. One reason that we are so prone to make wrong decisions is because we do not obey God. So what is it in our lives that we are excusing? If there is something in our lives that we know we shouldn't be doing, we're just causing ourselves to make wrong decisions. Number two, another reason that we are so prone to make wrong decisions is because of the company we keep. Who is it that we're walking with and spending time with that's trying to convince us to disobey what God says? Number three, another reason we're so prone to make wrong decisions is because of our selfishness and pride. How many decisions do we make on trying to outdo somebody else? Just something based on pride. May God help us. The good thing is God invites us to come to him. Notice in James chapter 1 and verse 5. James 1, 5. God invites us to him to come and with our questions. James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask what? Of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Why don't we go to God? Why didn't Eve go to God? Satan, through the serpent, was suggesting contrary to what God said. Why didn't she say, just a second, serpent, you've brought up some things. I think I'll talk to God about that. Why didn't she ask God, God, what would be the difference if I had the knowledge of not only good but of evil? Explain it to me. And he could have told her about scars and problems and bad memories. But she didn't do that. So may we go to the Lord. And the wonderful thing is that when we go to the Lord, he forgives our sins. He cleanses us. He blots them out. He, from the east, far as the east is from the west, he removes our sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your wonderful love. Father, I pray if there should be any here today who have never received the Lord Jesus Christ, help them to realize today that they need to turn from their sin to Jesus Christ. And you will save them. You will cleanse them. You will remove their sin. And help them to realize if they don't do that sooner rather than later, that they're going to heap more scars to themselves. And then eternal judgment if they don't get saved. Lord, help us as Christians. We need your help. We are so prone in the flesh to make the wrong decisions. Lord, help us to come to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books. If